Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who continues to visit us in this place today. You continue to meet us with grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. And, oh Lord, how we need this. We need this mercy of yours, this grace of yours, each and every day. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are the God of abundancy, and you promise that you will continue to pour that love and grace into each and every one of us in our lives this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the third to last day of the liturgical church calendar. And so if you are at all familiar with church calendars, we continue to follow throughout the whole year the life of Jesus. And we're coming to the end of that in the liturgical calendar, which means our attention begins to turn not from the birth of Jesus, but to the second coming and the glorious return of Jesus. And so the readings over the next 3 weeks, the gospel lessons, come from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus speaks to your and my waiting in this time, the time between now and his return. And there's three parables in Matthew 25, and in the first one, which one is the one we'll cover today, Jesus is portrayed as the bridegroom. Next Sunday, Pastor Thompson will talk about Jesus as the master, and then 3 Sundays from now, I will talk about the final one where Jesus is seen as the king in the parable. But what's important for us to realize is a couple things just here on the front end, is Jesus is speaking these parables to his disciples. He's not speaking this to the world, to believers and unbelievers. He's speaking these to those who profess to be followers of Jesus, who claim to associate with him and seek to follow him in their lives. This is who he is sharing these parables with. So that's what we're going to look at, is how do we live as we wait for his unexpected return. If you were to take a snapshot, what does life look like for you and me? What are the things that should be going on in our life as we wait? And you'll get a Polaroid snapshot for each of those in each of the three parables. So, I want to begin by talking about the fact that just over 2 years ago, I got hooked on Formula One race car driving. And I completely blame Netflix for that. The people who designed it and created the show Drive to Survive have a poster of a guy with a face like mine. Can we get a sucker to love our sport and buy stuff, right? And it worked. I mean, there is an impulsive part of my nature that once I got hooked, I was Team McLaren, and I got online and Amazon and ordered my hat to show my support. Now, what I loved about this show is you got to take an inside look at all the dynamics that are at work just in one race as a team seeks to win a race. You learn about strategies. You learn about driver personalities. You learn about 3 kinds of tires. There's a hard tire, medium tire, soft tire. And you wonder, whoever made the decision as the team manager when they took the gamble on the soft tire, did it last to the end, or was it a bad decision? And all of those dynamics are always fascinating to me. But one of the things I learned that I wasn't aware of before the series was this, is that an F1 race is not supposed to go over 2 hours in length, regardless of the number of laps or the length of the race. Now, there's one exception to that time cutoff. If there is a red flag, which means there's been a severe accident, and it takes a lot of time to clear the course before the drivers can go back on, then they are given permission that the race could go to 3 hours, but will not exceed 3 hours. So, right, if I ever convinced my wife to go to an F1 race with me, she would know going in, the most I'm going to have to suffer is 3 hours, right? Maybe even less. Tim will be happy. I won't really be happy, but, you know, that's how it is in life and marriage sometimes. well, what would happen if I finally convinced her to go, and she knew the time limits, and all of a sudden this particular race went 6 hours? Now, I have an idea what kind of looks I might receive. I also have a pretty good idea that this will be my last F1 race to ever attend with my wife. What if it went from not 6 hours, but 3 days? What would something like that do to the fan base? Would it increase it or decrease it? We all know, right? It would decrease it because people would lose interest and they would simply want to get on with their life. This is a race taking far longer than I expected for it to crown a winner. Now, it's that dynamic that is present in our parable of the 10 bridesmaids today. The title in your Bible might be 5 Foolish Virgins, 5 Wise Virgins. And as we listen to the story, it's pretty insightful to see what is it Jesus is using this parable to tell you and me as we wait his return. Well, we learn a few things, don't we? We learn that the 5 wise virgins in the story were those who were prepared for their task as bridesmaids, and they took extra oil with them. They had a flask of oil with them. And those who would be identified as the 5 foolish bridesmaids did not take anything and were ill-prepared if there was to be any delay in the bridegroom coming. That's the dynamic at work. And so in Matthew 25, verse 5, we read this verse. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So the distinction isn't the 5 wise ones were the ones who drank a lot of Red Bull, stayed awake, and were ready, and the 5 foolish ones fell asleep. No, the fact of the matter is because of the delay, all 10 of them fell asleep. But then the word comes at midnight. The bridegroom is coming. All 10 wake up. The 5 wise ones now have to dig into the flask of oil that they brought that they might continue to keep their lamps burning. And the 5 foolish ones tell the 5 wise ones, hey, why don't you share your extra oil with us so that we can go also into the marriage feast with you? And the 5 wise ones say, no, we're not sharing. Now, for some of us, that strikes us as like, well, I thought sharing was caring, right? We've always heard that sort of thing. But in this parable, Jesus is making clear, this is just not how it works. This is about individual preparedness for the return of the bridegroom, who is Jesus, and what's involved in that. So when the bridegroom comes, the 5 wise bridesmaids get to go into the wedding feast. And after they enter into the feast, what happens to the door? It's closed. Now, the 5 foolish ones think, well, you know what? Okay, since they're not going to share, we're going to go to the market at midnight and we're going to purchase the oil that we need so that we too can enter into the feast. Now, I'm guessing the market's not open at midnight, but they must know who sells the oil because they get some. Then they return to the bridegroom's house and they realize that the door is what? Shut. So there they are, And they hear the bridegroom on the other side of the door say, "I don't know you." The bridegroom has disassociated himself from these who were ill prepared for his return. I think it's the most frightening thing to consider hearing in our life is the Lord Jesus saying to you, "I do not know you." So as we seek to apply this teaching from Jesus, as we seek to say, how is this parable going to help me be made ready for the Lord's return when there's a delay? Well, here are some of the challenges, at least as I see it, for being moved from maybe that once wise group into the foolish group who finds themselves ill-prepared. One of those scenarios can be this, is a lack of immediacy in the problem that not having immediacy can cause you and I in our faith life. For example, if I continue and choose to go down a path that is contrary to God's path and His way and His will and His word and His law, and I go down this path and I don't experience immediately the consequences to being on the wrong path or punishment for being on the wrong path, it's very possible that I can be hardened in the way that I'm living, and in the same process, I am distancing myself from the Lord's invitation to be where He is. And as I increase that distance, then it is possible that I can get far enough away from Jesus that I disassociate myself from Him. And in so doing, if I'm caught in this moment, there's the possibility of being ill prepared. A real possibility of being shocked by the words, "I do not know you." Jesus said, in this world there will be tribulation, there will be troubles. And another challenge we have is when we are going through some sort of heartache or anguish or suffering or affliction or illness, and we cry out to Jesus for immediate healing and deliverance from the situation. And when it doesn't come, we begin to doubt if Jesus really is who He says He is, or if He even really cares about me. Now, Jesus never promised to heal everything and fix everything in this life, but this is what we have come to expect of Him, forgetting that there is a new world to come. And when He doesn't do what we think that He should do in the time frame that we think that He should do it, for many, this drastically weakens faith and leads them also to begin to withdraw and distance themselves from Jesus, His people, and His church, which can ultimately end up in your choosing to disassociate yourself with Him. To be caught off guard in the delay and to hear, "I do not know you." And the last challenge, I think, that we have to consider has to do with worship attendance. You've heard it said, right, that first time you decide to quit, what's going to be easier the second time? Quit. You can develop a habit of quitting. And the same is true. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm like anyone else. There's Sundays I would love to be in Colorado, like right now, and hiking. believe me, there are times that I'm sitting up here by the late service and saying, I wish I were one of those people who could be at IHOP right now. But even if I am filled in some way in Colorado, which I am, by the way, and it's all because of God's creation, I'm not filled in the same way that Jesus intends to fill me in this place. And even if I love a chocolate chip pancake with whipped cream, more butter, syrup, right? Like, I'm hoping to have cardiac arrest on my way out of IHOP, right? I can fill myself with that, and there's some delight and there's some joy, but it's not the same thing as being filled with His body and His blood in the bread and the wine. You see, those things don't prepare me or you in the same way that God intends to prepare you and fill you in this place. See, don't hear this as, there's Pastor being a principal again, banging on my attendance. I'm glad I'm here today, right? It's not really about perfect attendance. No one who comes is perfect, and perfect attendance isn't the big deal. The big deal is Jesus invites you, and He dishes things out to you in this place that you can't get in other places. So if you're not being fed and not receiving His life-giving word, then your lamp is running dry. And if the lamp's dry, when He returns, you're in trouble. It's about receiving the places and the gifts that Jesus intends to use so that you and I might be full. See, when we come in here every Sunday, all of us have our sins, all of us have our issues, all of us have things that we've neglected dealing with in our life that we need to deal with. That's all the case. But when you come here, you realize, and you come knowing you are dependent on the love and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus pours out. When He says to you, your sins are forgiven, your lamp is full. When He says, take and eat, and you take and you eat, your lamp is made full, and His love, mercy, and grace is poured into you. See, this is not a parable about the five wise ones were just better Christians. And the five foolish ones, well, they just had bad attendance. No, the five wise ones came with the oil that the Lord provides. And when you and I, if we're alive when the Lord comes that second time, if you've been receiving His gifts, you know you're going into the marriage feast, where there's joy and food and nice wine and all sorts of stuff. It's a world where the Cowboys can actually beat the Eagles. But if you're ill-prepared, that is, you've disassociated yourself from Him, you've distanced yourself from Him, I'm not saying you're not getting into the feast, but I'm saying you ought to be a little bit more nervous than you probably are. Because that can end up in a place you or I don't want to end up. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes in this world we prove to ourselves over and over that when we have to wait, when there is a delay, we become impatient. We determine that we will go and do other things. But Lord, it's because of this that You reveal openly in Your Scriptures how we can wait, and how we can wait in a way where you prepare us, that we may persevere in the faith in the midst of this world and its tribulations and struggles. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit this day increase our dependence upon you, as we know that you have an ongoing invitation inviting us to this place, inviting us through the Holy Spirit to confess our sins, but also inviting us to hear those great words that say, your sins are forgiven. So, Lord, may we be found where you prepare and fill our lamps. And when we do that, Lord, we do not need to even worry about that delay. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.